Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and we are still talking about tithing, giving, and the scriptures. We've pretty much run through all the scriptures that literally use the word tithing or talk about tithing. And what we've discovered is that tithing is very clear in the scriptures. It's very clear about who should tithe, to whom, and when, and how. And according to scriptures, tithing does not apply to Christians, to believers. Giving applies to believers. And there's a huge difference. And the difference starts with basically an assumption. In under tithing, it's a cut and dry, you write a check for 10% and you give it to your church. Or wherever you are going to give it. It's a done deal. You make that decision, you have a list, this is what you're going to do, and you check it off and you're done. Under giving, you recognize that this is your new nature. You are now a giver. That is part of who you are, just as it is God's character to give. That is the expression of love, is to give unconditionally. Any other area of our life, we are in contact, communication 100% of the time with God about this issue as well as any other issue. We've talked throughout this series that this may not be something God wants to deal with you about, and that's fine. This is we're not addressing a list of these 10 things that you need to talk to God about. Whatever God is doing in your life is between you and Him. We do recognize that the circumstances that God has arranged in our lives is a really good indicator of what He wants to talk to us about. That's the main way He gets our attention, is to arrange circumstances. And those circumstances fall into three categories: our health, our relationship, and our finances. So when we talk about finances, we talk about, this is how we get back to tithing and giving. And we're going to talk about some of our thought processes, but really we want to look at, where has this brought us? Where we've talked about tithing under law and how we approach money under law, and we see the example in the New Testament, the new relationship that under law, which is, again, all the way up to the crucifixion and resurrection. Again, it's not Matthew. It's not a book that starts the New Testament. It's an act. Until Jesus was crucified and resurrected, there could be no Christians. No one was re-inspirited, regardless of how much they believed. But once that happened, the law was fulfilled, and a new relationship based on rebirth was possible. And everything changed. the terms of relationship changed. And part of those terms that changed was the tithe. So under the law, tithing was on a list of many, many things, and that list varied in length. Started out, you know, with 10 commandments, and then quickly grew to over 300. And tithing was just one of those things on the list of all the different precepts and suggestions and commandments and do's and don'ts, that if you are going to be God's people and under the law, you have to fulfill all these requirements. And yet we see, even if all those requirements were fulfilled, spiritually, nobody could be reborn or become a living spirit until the resurrection, the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So under law, the whole concept of tithing was merely part of a list. And we spend a lot of time talking about Malachi, which is where so many of the teachings go. But the principle is that we look at the law, and the law in general, for instance, the law of Moses, or the law of the Old Covenant, Mosaic law, the Jewish commandments and traditions, and we bring them forward, and we still use them as a basis to live our lives and make our decisions. And yet, what we see as an example of Paul's letters. Now, Paul, out of everybody, claimed that he had fulfilled the law and yet didn't recognize the Son of God when he was here. That's Jesus revealed himself to him, to Paul, and Paul, well, at the time of Saul of Tarsus, his name was changed, his identity was changed. And that's what we also experience. We become a new creation, a new creature. We become spirit-filled, a spirit being. And we know God because he made the way to know him, not because we achieved some level of behavior modification or change, or were strong enough, intelligent enough, determined enough, disciplined enough to fulfill the law. So the law couldn't do it. Tithing couldn't do it. Animal sacrifice couldn't do it. Treating others a certain way, how you farm, taking the Sabbath off, none of those things could change, make a relationship with God. Only Jesus could do that. Then when he did it, the nature of our relationship with God changed. And this is where, and one of our problems and challenges is we all have an idea about what grace is. For our purposes, grace is simply accepting unconditionally what God wants to give us, unconditionally. And God wants to give us and has given us himself, his eternal life, his spirit, his riches, everything about him, spiritually speaking, is true about our spirit. Not about our soul, not about our body, and that's our challenge. Relationally speaking, who you truly are as a spirit being is in full compliance and full understanding and agreement with the Spirit of God. In your spirit, you are already giving exactly according to God's desire. You know what he wants you to know. You understand. You enjoy you receive, you give, you are exactly what he wants you to be in your spirit. Our problem is our soul and to some lesser degree, our body. So now that we've entered into grace, where do we go? What does a graceful relationship look like as far as tithing and giving and finances in general? And we'll get into some practical applications. But under grace, which is that relationship with God in which we have become new creatures, spiritually, holy, acceptable, and righteous, because he has made us that way, we have to have a mindset change, which is part of our soul, to where we can accept that overwhelming difference, that God has changed our nature, that we are no longer law-based beings, but grace-based. Our relationship with God is no longer law-based, but grace-based. Because he made us able to receive him, we can receive him. That's it. We receive him because he made us able to. Not that, no strings attached. And we often have a hard time with that. But grace overrides everything, including promises and covenants and vows and the law. The law does its duty by revealing to us that we need grace. So there's nothing wrong with the law. The law is perfect in what it's doing. It's revealing our need for a Savior. So we're not at all saying that the law has a shortcoming. We just need to understand what the purpose of the law was and is. The law reveals our need. But once it has done that, once we have understood that we need a Savior, the law's job is done. So we don't continue, we don't go back and forth between trying to fulfill the law and trying to live as a grace being. That's that double-mindedness. We try to do things God ways, and we try to do things our own way. Now, until some point in time, somebody may, besides Jesus, achieve a full oneness, spirit, soul, and body, until then, we do go back and forth, relying on our own ability to have a relationship with God, have some measure of control, to try to conform that relationship into some belief system. Sometimes it's even our temperament. Well, this is who God is. It's my job to make him happy. No, God doesn't need you to be happy. He's happy quite on his own. He doesn't need you to accomplish anything on this in this earth. He's doing it all on his own. He doesn't need our help. But guess what? We get to help. And we get to be involved in what he's doing because we're sons. We're a part of him. And he wants us to be a part of it. But it's not because he needs us. And it's not because we need to. It's because he enjoys us. He enjoys being with us. And in our spirit, we enjoy being with him and participating in what he's doing. You know what your future holds in your mind, in your spirit. And there are times when that is revealed to your soul. But part of that is following along with every opportunity that God gives you to address those areas of your life that you are trying to maintain control. with finances and tithing being a big one. And one of the reasons that's a big area, the whole tithing thing is a big area, is because, especially in the Western culture, churches, being a Christian, revolves around a religious structure that is fundamentally, almost intrinsically built around, or that foundation is around finances, tithing, money. The whole concept of growing, of having an impact of the community, all the different aspects of having a church presence has to be funded. And so to challenge that often involves rejecting the way church is done traditionally. And that's happening. That happens a lot. In fact, many times what you'll see is a lot of times people are attending a church not because they are in support of the tradition or approach to relationship that the church offers, but it's for social reasons. For instance, they want to have their kids learn the Bible, or they want to meet and be friends with other people of the same moral code. And those are valid and totally understandable reasons to attend church. But what we don't want to do is let that be the end of it. We want to go beyond that and understand that in the area of finances, God wants to talk to us about what we do with our money, how we give. And again, since giving is such an expression of our new nature, it's important to let God steer us maybe in a direction we hadn't expected. Now, we know there's the verse, sell all that you have and give to the poor and come and follow me. And the rich man walked away because he didn't want to do that. Well, Jesus touched that stronghold in that person's life. We all have strongholds, and they change. When God deals with one, another one will pop up. We're all in process. So this is not to say, okay, if you get this done, you're home free, or this is the only thing you need to deal with, or this is the most important thing to deal with. Over time, God puts his finger on things we believe that are not true. And we believe them for a variety of reasons. And we just deal with, this is where we are. And this is what God is dealing with us today. And we can enjoy that process, knowing that he's already has it planned out what's going to happen tomorrow, so he will have us ready for it. And take that into consideration. When God is dealing with you about something, you might want to go ahead and do the work. Deal with the wounds, behaviors. Change your mind. Let go of the trying to maintain control. And let him take it from there. So what is that graceful relationship? God can only give his unconditional grace to those who accept it unconditionally. The humble, the little children, those who just say, yes, Lord, I accept it. Now, as soon as we do that, the self, our soul, starts interfering. And that's where our warfare starts. Remember, we have three enemies: the world system, the devil and his buddies, and our own soulical strengths, our strongholds in the soul, what the Bible refers to as flesh. But that world system, Jesus already conquered that when he was here. And he also conquered the devil and his buddies. So those two, even though they're still valid strongholds, and we are learning to conduct warfare against those two strongholds, Jesus never had flesh. He never had a stronghold in his soul. So this area, we are working it out. And it's very often by trial and error. And so we're going to make mistakes. And this is where, let's be honest about it, it can be a struggle. But we don't avoid something because it's hard or because we're going to make a mistake. Instead, we rely more heavily on God, on that relationship, being able to hear him clearly, being able to test what we're hearing, and then apply it. Because we now have a new nature, we don't need a reason to give, a motivation to give. We give because that is our nature. For God so loved, he gave. For we so love, we give. Giving allows God's nature, his life, to flow through us. But some may say, but if I don't tithe, will God take care of me? I mean, why should he? And really, this kind of thinking is probably at the root of why tithing is such an issue on a personal level, on an individual level. We've talked about why it's so important to the church. It's a way to maintain control over practical issues. If you teach tithing, you can get some money coming into your church, and then you don't have to be relying on God. You can just make sure your budget is commensurate with the tithing you've got in your church. But on an individual basis, we still find it hard to comprehend that the God of the universe loves us, each one of us, so much that there is nothing that he requires of us but to accept his love. Think of that. The greatest thing you can do for God is to accept his love and say thank you. God provides for us because he loves us. Does a child receive love from a parent because he cleans up his room? No. That child is loved because he is that parent's child. He's loved because of the relationship. The love depends on the parent, not the child. So if a child fails to clean up his room, is he kicked out on the street? No. He may be disciplined, but not disowned. You and I cannot be kicked out of the family of God. And God, being a good daddy, provides for his own. And you are his own. This belief, this reality that we are complete in him, that gives us the confidence to give as directed, knowing that we have everything we need already, and that we can't give out more than God has, for his supply is endless. So, coming full circle, this is the stronghold in the church. We fail to believe in the grace of God. Now, we're experiencing some cultural questions. And these questions come around and go around, and there's nothing new under the sun. And there are questions about, should Christians be wealthy? And greed, and quite a few different varieties of struggles, even to the degree that Christians become guilty, feeling guilty because they're wealthy, which is about the silliest thing. Unless you steal it, it's really nobody else's business, except between you and God. This is why it always comes back to, Lord, what do you want to talk to me about in this area? So is it a good thing to get this straightened out? Well, obviously. Why is it this important? Because it's important to us. There are consequences to our beliefs. Only the strong can help the weak. And on an individual basis, knowing that the God of the universe and you are one, and as you become more and more aligned and attuned to your new nature, the opportunities for sharing and giving and expressing the eternal life that is already within you is probably beyond our own comprehension. So we see that the consequences very much revolve around a matter of control. And control is the main stronghold in our soul. Your soul, before you became a Christian, survived by controlling its environment internally and externally, getting needs met through its own strength, through its own power. But now your soul doesn't have to do that anymore. God's already met your needs. But it's going to take a while, and only God can do this. Only God can help your soul release that need for control. And this is where that relationship with God brings us into embracing the opportunities, every opportunity that comes up, to be healed, to be strengthened, and to be changed from being a soul-dependent being to a grace-dependent being, a spirit being, where our soul and spirit and body are in perfect alignment as one. Just as God is one, we are one in him. So the reason we're going to go next week and hopefully finish up talking about why this is so important, about the consequences, and how believers, because we are relying on others to just tell us, okay, this is how you give and this is the circumstances, rather than taking it to God, this is one of the big areas where we fail to learn to hear from him. So we're going to pick it up here next week. Until then, you can drop me a line at diane@therainersclub.org or through Blog Talk Radio. Until next week, this has been Diane Thomas of Rainers Radio. Have a great night.